I greet each one present in Jesus' name. It's good to be gathered together again this morning. And as was mentioned, this is the first qualification message for ordination for deacon here at Rollinsville. And as I was thinking about our congregational life, and as far as ordinations go, I was thinking about it, and this will be the fourth ordination that affects us within a five-year period. And going back, it was September 2017, that I was ordained bishop. And then as I was looking last evening, it was in the beginning of 2019 that Nolan was ordained as deacon to fill that role. And then just 1 year ago, in fact, not quite a year ago, in 2021, Nolan was ordained minister with Paul not getting any younger. I mean, he'd been asking for that, and you can only do it so fast. And so, and then our deacon was ordained minister, which brings us to this point. And so trying to feel the pulse of a congregation, and I was thinking about our congregational life here at Rollinsville. And it's healthy to be able to have ordinations, and it can also be really challenging. And my sense is, in the past, we may have had more anxiety about an upcoming ordination, and I get the sense that hopefully we're at a place that we can get through these things, and life will go on, and congregational life will go on. And with God's help, we can do it in unity. And so that's my continued goal for this ordination, that as we seek the Lord, we can get a sense of direction and what he has for us. So with that in mind, in this morning's message, qualification message, it's the third one I've given here, did for deacon, did for minister, and now for deacon again. And so there will be some overlap, but it won't be the same. And I realize it's warm, so people that love me tell me that I'm not supposed to tarry you this morning, and so we're going to try to just keep moving right along here. So for a first scripture, I invite your attention to Acts chapter 6. And this is the first scriptural account, the first deacons were called. Here in Acts chapter 6, it's the beginning of the New Testament church. And so let's get a picture of what was happening here. Acts 6, starting at verse 1, and read through verse 7. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And so the deacons, they called deacons because they were overwhelmed with the work that was at hand. The first five chapters of Acts tell us, recount the remarkable unity of the early church. It was a time of great growth and unity with the Holy Spirit coming. And in Acts 2, 4, and 5 tells that they had all things in common, and to every man was given as he had need. Sounds like a wonderful place to be. And then in Acts 4, 34, it says that neither was among them any that lacked. But by the time we get to chapter 6, as the church rapidly grew, there arose a murmuring due to the neglect of the Hellenist widows. A proposal was made to choose, and by the laying on of hands, commission 7 men for the task of better filling the temporal needs of the early church. And so as I thought about that, that 7 men were called. And I didn't think about it, but we have a number of men here that would be eligible to be nominated to be deacon. I'm not sure if it's 7, but if it's 4 or 5 or 6, we're not going to ordain 7 men, okay? But that doesn't mean that we don't have that many servants that are here. A deacon is called to be a servant, and he has a part for each of us. And so Harold Martin's commentary says, while the word deacon is not found in this account, the Greek word used for deacons later in the New Testament is related to the word translated here as distribution, serve, and ministry, similar to how our English word servant is related to the words service or serve. And so really, the deacon, the role of a deacon is one that is a model of servanthood. And so as we read this account here in Acts chapter 6 of the state of the church, a deacon really is one that should have a love for God and a love for people. And he has his pulse on the congregation about what's happening and who might be facing tough times and where there's adversity, and that's the role of the deacon. He's the one to serve. He's the model of servanthood, and we're going to talk a bit more about how he's inclusive in that servanthood. So I'd just like to go over briefly a couple of points on the role of a deacon. I had given these before, I believe, here. And the first one is that the role of a deacon should be seen as assisting the ministry team in a way that allows the pastor to concentrate on his calling, which is prayer and the ministry of the word, which comes through in the scripture in Acts chapter 6. That's the shepherd's main calling. The role of the deacon is behind the scenes. The word generally means to help, assist, to minister, or to serve. Deacon is what that means. And I was a deacon for 25 years, and you know, that behind the scenes, and I got fulfillment out of that. Just getting joy out of serving, and then that you can help fill a need, or make a visit, or chat to somebody, or it can be really rewarding. So in thinking the role of the deacon, I have 4 areas here, and that is he's an adaptable servant, the adaptable servant. And that all believers are part of a bigger body than themselves. A deacon likewise is part of a ministry team. He's part of a team. He assists and helps, assists with the emblems at communion, pouring onto the water at baptism. And James 1 says to visit the fatherless and the widows. He is there when there are fires and floods and natural disasters. The purpose of a deacon on a ministry team is to enable the others on the team to be free to love and serve well. And it's filling in when there is a need. And so a love for people and a love for God. And as I think about things come up, and if there's a fire, let's say, you don't say, well, this is not on my calendar for this week. I'll look into it 10 days from now. That's not the way it works. And I had to think about it Paul and John. I don't know how many years ago, Philip was in grade school, and he was hit with a baseball, I think, or was it a bat? It was the ball, hit him in the forehead, and I'm not sure if it knocked him out a little bit. He really got bumped in the head, and they took him to the hospital, and then I think Lancaster General said, well, we don't have pediatrics or something, and they put him in a helicopter, and they flew him up to Hershey, that's right, and so it happened in the afternoon. He was up there that evening, John's were up there with him, and Paul and I talked and said, you know what, we really need to go up there for the research this evening just to, you know, pray with them and let them know we're by. And there's things like that that come up, but, you know, if we would have said, wow, I am tired this evening and it just really doesn't suit, I'm going to go do it next week, it's not the way it works. We've had funerals here in the past, and, you know, you're tempted to say, well, it'd be nice if this person would die when it fits our schedule. Okay, sometimes we don't even have time to die, I said. But so that's the part of serving. You need to be ready and available. An adaptable servant is where that comes through. And so his part as a deacon, you know, oftentimes my role in a funeral was at the graveside, and of course the wife is often kind of helps out with the hospitality and so on. And when asked to preach, this ordination for deacon is different than the last one, and we're not necessarily ordaining a preaching deacon, which was our goal the last time with the needs we had. But he may be expected, asked to help out with preaching sometimes. And I think in the past, Luke Ball, who I took the place of, Luke, it was Luke did not enjoy preaching. It didn't make him a bad person. I don't know if it didn't come easy or what, but he would ask somebody else, whatever. The two times a year we kind of expected it of him. He did sometimes too, but my point is there's giftings and maybe our tendencies and so on. Along with that, I don't mind preaching, and I can lead singing. Okay, I'm giving this as an example. I can, and I think I'm not that bad. I'm not a finesse singer. Nolan, you know that. I'm not finesse at it. But if I'm asked to lead singing, by the time I get through the second song, it is hard work for me. I'm standing up here and I'm sweating and I'm red in the face, and it's just like, I remember they assigned me to do a song service like back when I was newly married or a youth or something without asking me. And I didn't back out. I did the whole thing, but I still remember how hard that was. It didn't come naturally and easy for me. And so we're made up different ways, and that's okay. Okay, adaptable servant. We need to move along. A networking servant. Romans 12, 1 and 2 are verses about surrender and sacrifice. This forms a foundation and wellspring for servant living, which is clearly God's will for all Christians. Paul then immediately goes to how the consecrated life and transformed mind is to selflessly serve Christ and others through the exercise of spiritual gifts. So a networking servant, what am I talking about in this, under this, a model servant? A networking servant is to call out, network, delegate where there are needs to be met. It seeks and enables help to come from the church body. For example, clean up after a fire, fixing an appliance, automobile repair, cutting wood, etc. A networking servant. And I affirmed Nolan the other evening, who's still kind of our minister and deacon. He talked about going and up to visit Grace. And I'm assuming that Nolan and Alina saw that it seemed like weeding the flower beds would have seemed like a bit much for them as a couple. So they networked. Okay? The model servant is calling in other servants. And that's what the deacon we ordained is not expected to do it all himself. In fact, that would be very unwise. He uses the other gifts, asks, appoints, networks to fill the needs. And so like I said, we're not ordaining five deacons, but we're ordaining one to use the gifts of the congregations and network. The third idea is a unifying servant, and where there is strife, disagreement, or unrest, he works towards understanding and unity. Ephesians 4 says, and verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we all always need to be motivated by love. Our motives are key. And later in Romans chapter 12, the end of the chapter talks about relationships a lot and about non-resistance and when people treat us badly and so on. And so Romans 12, 9 and 10 says, let love be without hypocrisy. The Amplified says, let your love be sincere. Our love for God creates a merciful attitude towards others. Motivated by compassion and love, servants walk toward the pain of others instead of away from it. And so, a unifying servant, and a real part of the deacon role is the relationships in the church. It's to bring peace. And it's one of the main parts of it. And so the importance of loving God, loving his word, loving people is an important part of it. Then my fourth area is serving faithfully amidst adversity. He should be solid in his convictions, like Stephen was here in Acts chapter 6. One of the first deacons is also the first martyr. Where and when the people of God serve him, the devil will bring opposition. It's not if, but he will. He will bring opposition. Philip preached in Samaria. Many were saved, but Philip had to rebuke Simon the sorcerer. And so we had in the lessons we've been going through how there's opposition, and we had comes through about Paul's love for people and for the church. And so serving faithfully amidst adversity is a part of this role. So going on then, for another scripture to look at, I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, which gives us some direction here on choosing deacons. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I'd like to start reading at verse 8. 1 Timothy 3, 8 to 13. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So going back to verse 8, it says, likewise must deacons be grave. What does that mean? The Amplified says, must be worthy of respect, having integrity. Another way of saying it is not shifty and double talkers, but sincere in what they say. I would say they're real. And it graves makes the idea of being kind of like stern and not smiling. And so worthy of respect is a better way. I like deacons that smile. Okay? So worthy of respect and also friendly. Doesn't mean not the opposite of friendly. Then also it says in the second part of this verse, verse 8, not greedy for filthy lucre, which means not greedy for financial gain or craving wealth and resorting to dishonest methods of getting it. And so doing that, when wealth is a goal and the accumulation of it, it will distract from the number one priority, which is the care of brothers and sisters. And I don't want to say that good businessmen can't go along with being good deacons, but it should, a person that is a deacon, their main emphasis won't be on the accumulation of finances, because that will distract from his main calling in life or role, which is that of a deacon. And I was reminded of our devotions this morning in the parable of the sower. As I was thinking about this message a little bit, and it jumped out on me. It says about the seed that fell among the thorns, and one of the things that chokes it out is, in my own words, the pursuit of wealth there. And it's so it's a choker to the seed growing. And so can't be one that has an obsession with accumulating wealth. We should be able to say with Paul in Acts 20, verse 33, I have coveted no one's gold, silver, or apparel. Paul said, that's not what I'm about. In fact, he was a tent maker preacher, that he could be like the people he was ministering to. He was not in the pursuit of that. In verse 9, moving along, they must hold the mystery or the Christian truth as hidden from ungodly men. So another way of saying that is with a clear conscience, this person understands what it means to be saved. Christ is Lord of his life, and the evidence is shown in a regenerated life. Okay, he understands the mystery and lives it out. Moving along to verse 10, it says, let these also first be proved, and then let them use the office of deacon. The Amplified again says, let them also be tried and investigated and proved first, then if they turn out to be above reproach, let them serve as deacons. Now that sounds pretty intense, doesn't it? It sounds like you're going to be interrogated, and we could be afraid of that. We should not be. I mean, there's steps in this, and we don't move into it hastily. We pray about it. We've been praying about it. We have two qualification messages. Then we have the nominations, which is one step, and then you fill out a doctrinal questionnaire, and Lois and I will meet with that person, and then a bishop committee will meet with that person, will go over their doctrinal statement, and there's a time of soul searching and looking in, is this person qualified? And I will say, I think Lois and I are really kind. And the bishop committee is really kind, and so you don't need to be afraid about that. But, you know, with that, that doesn't mean that we avoid things that we need to talk about. That's part of the process. And so this person will have already been, is already using his gifts, being used in the church, and it's not like he's never stood in front before, never led in a prayer before. He's already being used of God. Along with that, we might be tempted to think, well, boy, does anybody measure up? So God has been working on this person, using on this person, but he also enables who he calls. But he doesn't start when he calls the person. Okay, he started before, is my way of saying this verse. And so God enables who he calls. The scripture talks about it not being a novice. And it also says there to end of verse 10, and found blameless. And I know in my experience of ordinations and hearing qualification messages and so on, and I remember at the end of one some time ago, I forget when exactly it was, and somebody said, well, it sounds like that person needs to be perfect. I mean, there's just nobody that measures up to that. Blameless kind of sounds that way, doesn't it? Who here is blameless? And so that's not the same as sinless. Blameless is not the same as sinless, but it's about their testimony. And I like this way of saying it. It says, but avoiding every appearance of evil, above reproach, when there is false accusations, they don't stick like Velcro or cockle burrs. Okay? That's what like blameless is. He's got a good testimony. And so, you know, people are going to say stuff and maybe they'll throw jabs at you. And what does a cockle burr do? It sticks. And so you get a person that too much stuff sticks to, says something about their who they are. And so when we were talking, you know, just this week, I was doing an instruction class with Oak Shade, I'm helping out there, and it was about spiritual growth. And it was the scripture is in there in Ephesians about the spiritual armor. We have the breastplate and the helmet and all that, you know. And Samara was saying she was with a group where the guy had a catcher's mitt on, or a whole catcher's gear, which is kind of like the picture of the helmet and, or the spiritual armor, I'm trying to say. And she said, you know, you throw stuff like that, and the idea is for it to bounce off of it, okay? And so insults get thrown, and it bounces off. It doesn't stick. The idea of blameless. Going on then, it says in verse 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. And so, we have the idea of temperance, self-mastery, control of the mind and affection in such a way that this person's wife and the husband as well will deal calmly with difficult situations. This person is composed, collected, and not easily excited. He exhibits a balanced sense of judgment and discernment, generally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. And so we're made up physiologically, and we're also made up spiritually, and they're all interconnected. There's the way our personality is. That's part of us. But also a real part of us is our spiritual nature, and that can help us overcome what is lacking, I really believe, in our physical makeup. It really can. And I want to tell you one of my pet peeves, and maybe I should have more of them, maybe I should have less of them. But in thinking of how we relate to people and temperance and so on, what one of the things I really don't like is drama. Okay, I don't care for drama. And it does a tremendous amount of damage in the church where, and men and women can be this way. You know, you hear something and then it gets exaggerated and it's just like, you know, I hear about stuff that happened. It's like, wow, I thought I was there, but it sounds like I wasn't. Okay? And so, you know, this comic, let's just, you know, de-escalate this thing and not blow it out of proportion. And I mean, our deacon needs to be that kind of person. Okay? I love dramatic people too. Okay, I do. But it's about de-escalating difficult situations and so on. In verse 11, we've been talking about the women likewise must be worthy of respect, not gossipers, but temperate and self-controlled, thoroughly trustworthy in all things. And so we're not ordaining a woman per se, but you know, if this person's married, he does have a wife, and she's part of it. She's absolutely part of it. And I, you know, it's we just really got to watch that. And I, you know, I think it was announced here last Sunday. This is just an example. Grace, Phil Hollinger called me about the Meadows of Hope situation, and you know, we talked about what to say to this congregation. I told Phil, I say this with, I said, Phil, the Rollinsville congregation isn't going to gossip about it. They're not going to be trying to figure it out and find out. We'll say just enough. And you tell us to pray for it, and that's what we'll do. And that's what we need to do. You know, telling everybody that it's not their business and they can't help and we just got to tell it all over the place. I really feel that we're probably not perfect, but I'm biased, but I think we're about as close as you can get. Okay. And I say that for this congregation's affirmation. And so let's continue to strive to be that way. I wanted to mention this. So this is the first qualification message. Next Sunday, we're going to have the nomination message, and Lord willing, in 2 weeks, the ordination. And with that, I'm counting on you not to talk among yourselves and try to figure it out between then and now, okay? It's not the time to talk amongst ourselves. It's a time for prayer and seeking the Lord. It's the kind of thing that can cause so much damage, and I know we just like to do that, maybe, but don't, okay? And I know you won't. Just putting that in there with this verse on too much talk. We get to 12, where it talks about the home and the family. It says that deacons be the husband of one wife, and we understand that well. That's not a problem. He should be a one-woman man. And that his home and family should be one that's an example to the flock. You know, our people yearn for good examples to pattern themselves after. We might not say it, we might not shout it from the rooftops, but I think in all of us, as we're part of a congregation and a church, we yearn for good examples to pattern ourselves after. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but his home and family should be an example, and it can be a real detraction if it's not a family and a home that is a good example. And we heard on the phone yesterday from Bree and the brother from South Carolina talking about child training, and he said, who wants to preach about child training? I mean, because then people look at your family, and well, you can sure pick some stuff out that didn't get done the best. And so none of us are perfect, but I mean, it is an important part that his home and family should be an example. And I, you know, we've got some little children here that are between birth and 5 years old, I would say. And you know what? I can say I know the process is continuing. Okay? We're not there yet. And so we need about understanding that it does take time. Verse 13. Those who serve well as deacons will be rewarded with a sense of fulfillment and respect from others, and will have confidence and boldness in the faith which is founded on and centered in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, it comes out here that a deacon's going to be blessed. A deacon will purchase themselves a good degree and a great boldness in the faith. And so, we know each one of the ministry team is God calls and uses, and we talk about it not much at all. But you know, on a lighter side, we might say, you know, he's just a deacon, or them deacons, or whatever. You know, I don't know anywhere in Scripture where it says, like it does here, that the ministers and bishops are going to be blessed like this, okay? And I mean, in my way of thinking, I think it's the way of God blessing the model servant, which is what he calls a deacon to be. And so I just put that in there for free. And so he's also called to serve, I believe, with steadfastness. I have a couple other scriptures here and need to wrap this up. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, he's to serve with steadfastness. 1 Corinthians 15:58, and some of these, really these have to do with the call on all of our lives as believers. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so a quality that produces confidence in the deacon, an unstable person cannot be entrusted with personal problems or serious church matters. So steadfastness is an important part. In Acts 20, 17 to 20, under the point serving with humility and passion. And let's just take the time to look at that, Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 17 to 20. Serving with humility and passion. Acts 20:17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And so in spite of the adversity, and Paul says, I've served with humility, with tears, temptations, and I kept nothing back from you. And I love that idea of passion. I mean, if we're called to do something, let's do it all in. Let's be all in. One of the things I noticed about ministry, and we're talking about a deacon specifically here, is that it has a way of affecting and the people around you, the people in your congregation. And a way a congregation starts to take on the personality of its people and its ministry. And so a deacon has influence in what the church becomes. And so let's do it passionately. A love for God and a love for God's people. I have here a checklist I came across of evaluating if a brother to share the lot for an ordination. And I thought they were good, and it just seems pretty extensive, but I think it's worth sharing. One, does he have a spiritual message? Secondly, is he involved in the work of the church? Is he interested in telling others about God and salvation? Can he deal fairly with members of the church? Is he making use of his talents for the work of God now? Does he presently promote the principles of biblical nonconformity? Does he presently promote the principles of non-resistance? Is he in harmony with present church practices? Is he in harmony with the present church leaders? Is he willing to lay aside his own opinion and support the decision of others? Is he willing to ask and take advice? Does he exercise good sense and judgment in matters? Is he congenial with others? Is he able to teach? Is he self-centered? Does he love the brotherhood? Is he a novice or only new in the faith? Is he of good report by those outside of the church? Do you know him well? Could you trust this man with your money? Could this man be bribed? Is the word of God more important to him than tradition? Does this man gossip or spread bad words about others? Does he support church discipline? Questions relating to his wife. Does his wife and family prove his spirituality and leadership? Is she supportive of the doctrinal applications of the church? Does she wear the veiling consistently? Does she gossip or spread bad words about others? Does she dominate the home? Is she willing to be taught when she has failed? Questions relating to yourself or the nominators. Did you pray about this choice? Do you have any selfish motives in nominating this brother? Are you motivated by personal feelings and prejudices? Are you being open to the Holy Spirit to lead you? And we touched on many of them, but I thought that was a pretty good and pretty exhaustive list. So our message this morning was the deacon as a role model of servanthood. And as I was thinking about church life and a ministry team and so on, there are men that are visionaries. And I'll just tell you two of them that come to my mind. You talked about Jay Fox in our Sunday school class a little bit this morning, and Jay Fox at Fairview was a visionary. Clayton Shank at Tidings of Peace was a visionary. We need visionaries, but we also need the people that make it happen, okay? And so visionaries with just vision leave you with not much, okay? Just good ideas. And we also need the people that are the hands and the feet and the ones that do the work and the planning and get the permits and on it goes. And that's the role of a deacon for the most part. I'm going to read over to you the paper we passed out concerning this ordination and how we go about it in the close of the service, just to help you remember and refresh your memory as we look toward next Sunday and the nomination service. To the members of the Rollinsville congregation, grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The Rollinsville ministry is presenting to you the plans for the upcoming deacon ordination. The first qualification message is Sunday morning, July 24th, 2022 by Wesley Metzler. The second qualification message and nominations will take place Sunday morning, July 31 with Ken Gaiman. We encourage a day of fasting for the ordination on Thursday, July 28th. And John mentioned that this morning, and that's my plea. When I talked to Philip about going to Poland, he's taking a train ride somewhere, and he told me, he said, pray, pray, pray for me on that train ride. And so I'm saying, we're not going on a train ride, we're looking forward to an ordination, but that's pray, pray, pray. Following the message on Sunday morning, July 31, the membership will have the opportunity to share the nominations in the classroom at the bottom of the stairs. The nominations will be received by Wesley Metzler, Ken Gaiman, John Reeser, and Nolan Martin. Paul Hess will usher members into the nominating room. Brothers who are eligible for the nomination will be those who meet the biblical qualifications for ordination and are actively involved members at Rollinsville. The brother who was ordained will be responsible for the treasure work of our congregation and the district, as well as helping out with preaching as requested. He will be expected to wear a plain suit and his wife to wear a cape dress, which is what we encourage in our district supplement. They'll be expected to wear that. A minimum of 3 votes will be required for one to be considered for ordination. If more than one receives sufficient nominations, is qualified and willing to serve, the lot will be used. All active members age 18 and older are encouraged to participate in nominating. Married couples are welcome to come into the nominating room together. Through prayer, they should seek the Lord for a nomination until they agree. We are asking for 1 nomination per couple. Absentee nominations may be given to Wesley Metzler in a sealed envelope prior to the Sunday morning service on July 31, the envelope should be clearly marked on the outside, nomination for deacon ordination at Rollinsville. It should include the name of the person or couple nominating and the person being nominated. These will be opened after receiving nominations from the ministry and before receiving your nominations. If for some reason you can't be here next Sunday, you get sick or there's an emergency, it is the option you have to see that we have a sealed envelope with your nomination in by next Sunday service. Names of the nominees will be announced before dismissing on July 31. Nominees and their wives will be asked to fill out a doctrinal questionnaire. The questionnaire will be reviewed with each nominee and his spouse by Wesley and Lois. The assisting bishops and the Rollinsville District Ministry will also review the questionnaires, followed by an interview with each nominee and his spouse on Thursday evening, August 4th, 7 p.m., and that's at Paul and Elsie's home, I believe, because of clubs being here at the church. August 4th, 7 p.m., Thursday evening. If there are any concerns about nominees, please contact Wesley Metzler by Tuesday, August 2, and I'll remind you of that next Sunday. Lord willing, the ordination will be Sunday afternoon, August 7, 2022, at Rollinsville at 2:30 p.m. Michael Burkholder will bring the message, and there will be a meal following the service. In the name of Christ, the Rollinsville Mystery, Wesley Metzler, John Reeser, Nolan Martin, and Paul Hess. And so it says there in the one paragraph, I didn't highlight this, that all active members are encouraged to participate. And so if you don't have to have a nomination, but I mean, you've done pretty well at this coming down. If you don't have a nomination, wishing the Lord's blessing. And I will, that's okay if you don't have a nomination. I will say that we're requiring 3 nominations. And so we're gonna need some nominating to come up with 3. Because we have a number of men that would be eligible. And so not putting the pressure on, just telling you that's where it's at. And so seek the Lord and what he has for us. You don't have to nominate. If you're not at peace, please don't. Okay? Don't do something you're not at peace with. But let's seek the Lord this week and look forward to what he has for us next Sunday. Looking forward to Ken Gaiman being here, who's from the Northern District. And so I feel it's a blessing to have Ken here. We try to do more local men sometimes, but there's other ordinations coming up, and we also try to share it around. And so with another one coming up soon, it seemed like most of us locally were involved in that one. So I'm helping Ken out at East District in September, and so it's going to be, I'm looking forward to him being here and sharing this experience with us next Sunday. Shall we have a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love and goodness to us. Thank you for the church and for your working through it to accomplish your purposes. As we wait on you and seek your guidance for this important event in the life of the Rollinsville congregation, I pray that you would bind the devil and what he would try to do, and that you would help us to seek your will and your guidance as we wait on you and what you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.